Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Straight series. Koblitz, Berlin, throwback screen to Gore, and he's got blockers in front. Gore inside the 10. First and goal, Miami.
Good call.
Berlin to throw. Brock over the middle's got his man. Touchdown! Ryan Moore!
Not close enough for a field goal yet.
Drop the ball. Now he's got a run. A lot of orange jerseys giving chase, and they've got it.
You can't run east-west on this defense.
Not with Jonathan Vilma and DJ Williams and those guys. Yeah. Wilfork is the guy that got the penetration. And then Vilma ran him down. Gore heading for the first down, and he's got it. It's a touchdown! With 15 seconds left. Remember, they have one timeout left. They need a touchdown. Chris Leak. This time he's intercepted. Miami will survive it. The ball is still loose. Alphonso Marshall picked it off. It's been blown dead. And the Canes dodge a huge bullet. I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, Chris Leak had never thrown a collegiate interception. He just made his first mistake.
Holy smokes, wow. Man. That was awesome. That was awesome. I wonder where that guy is now, Brock Berlin. Where could he be?
We're going to find out right now. We're going out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. We're going to talk to Brock Berlin. Who it's weird when he even says it, former UM and UF quarterback from 2001 to 2004, and you heard those highlights. The catalyst of that went into halftime, down a whole bunch of touchdowns, left that stadium with a W, and broke my heart with the Gator Chomp right at the end. Oh, my God, I still see it. Brock, good morning. I love you and hate you at the same time. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Glad to be on.
Hey, Brock, first of all, before we get into all the good, juicy stuff with what had to be an unbelievable day for you a long, long time ago, where are you living now?
Man, I am back in Shreveport, Louisiana, so back home.
Wow. All right, so you're back home again. Can you name three famous quarterbacks? So Shreveport was kind of known for all you four- and five-star quarterbacks. Name the most famous quarterbacks to come out of Shreveport.
Ooh.
Man, we probably have to go with Ferguson, Joe Ferguson,
yeah.
Terry Bradshaw, and I'm not gonna.
That's a good start. I got to throw in my old roommate David Woodley.
Wow,
there you go. Okay, there you go, going way back there. Okay, Woodley, I like that. My memory's not as good these days. Memory's old, Joe.
Hey, no, you're not. Hey, what a night! What a night it was, though. First of all, you leave, and of course, all the Florida Gator fans getting all over you for you know, coming to UM of all places, and now you find yourself down 33-10 in the third, and the Boo Birds are out. Now they've had enough of you, and they throw you in a shotgun, which you loved, and it was what happened? How did you just turn the switch? It had to be more than just putting you in the shotgun that flipped that game around, or was it really that easy?
Man, you know, I think really what it was, I mean, we played about as bad as we could play offensively, you know, for the first, you know, 2.5 quarters. And really, I think we just, you know, backs were against the wall. We got into our 2-minute offense. I don't know if it was as much the shotgun as it was just let's spread it out. And we got nothing to lose. And guys just really believed in each other. And I think once we, you know, we got the first drive, the first score, where Kevin Beard catches a touchdown. It was kind of like, okay, you know, there's the first one. And then I like to tell people when KB caught that next drive where he catches it and runs it down, you know, to the 1 yard line and Frank punches it in, that's when we started to say, okay,
uh-oh,
let's go. We got this thing. And you kind of felt the momentum. You felt it shift. And that's when the OB started to become alive. And that was my first experience of this is a pretty special place.
Brock, what was said at halftime? Like, what was said in that halftime locker room? Did someone throw a chair? Did someone light something on fire or rip a head off a chicken? Like, what happened in that locker room that you guys came out and just, like, it was a whole new ball game in that second half?
No, I mean, it was really business as usual, you know? I mean, I think it was more guys, hey, this is what we're doing wrong. This is what we need to fix. Let's stay what we know what we can do. You know, don't freak out and just go make plays. And so, you know, I think, you know, what we were doing, you know, the defense was worn out. We kept them on the field the whole game. And so finally, when we caught some momentum there in the second half and allowed them to get some rest, and then they felt it too. And they started obviously feeding off of the success that we were having there late in the third quarter.
You remember the Boo Birds, though? But when it's 33-10 and not looking real good, could you hear that as well, or do you have that all blocked out?
Oh, yeah. You always hear, you know, you hear things, and you feel it. You've been there, Joe. You know that when the game's going south, you know, you can feel it. But I think it's just that that's what I was so proud of our team and our guys are sticking together. And man, what a feeling that was to flip that, you know, to flip the whole feeling there in the stadium, and to go from, you know, a very, very quiet OB to a place feeling like an earthquake. I mean, that was, I mean, just listening to those highlights right there brought back so many memories. And I mean, I can still, you know, still feel it to this day.
Hey, Brock, just between us here in South Florida, how good did it feel to stick it to your former team? I mean, there's part of you're a good Christian guy, I know that, but just let it down a little bit. Did it feel pretty good? Is there part of the human side of you that just goes, yep, it just feels real good?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I'll tell you all day long, it was awesome. it really, you know, for me too, you know, I mean, it was when I made the decision to come to Miami, it was the best decision that I ever made to make that move. You know, and for about a year, I had to hear it, you know, from everybody. I made the wrong decision from Florida fans and, you know, all the different things. And so, yeah, to be able to be my first start in the Orange Bowl, for it to be that type of game, I tell people you can't dream up a situation, and yeah, it felt real good when that clock hit zero. So I look over there at those Florida fans that were giving me heck, you know, when it was 33-10, say, check it out now, 38-33.
What was with that you still remember the Gator chomp?
I still remember it. I can only
there have been Gator fans that made comments like he really had. Brock, of all people, had to do that to us.
Broke my heart.
You didn't forget that, did you?
No, man, I remember that. It wasn't a planned thing or anything like that, but it was fun. I mean, it was my way of having some fun. If they don't like it, then you know what? They'll get over it.
No, we won't. No, Brock, you know, I haven't gotten over it. I still haven't gotten over it. It still breaks my heart. I'm still at halftime of that game going, this game is over. How about that? Take that, Canes. And then, boom, second half hits, and I feel like I was in the twilight zone while that whole thing was happening. I heard you talking with Crowder a couple weeks back, and I heard him talking about the fact that he remembers stopping Frank Gore. Yeah, but it was in the end zone when he stopped him. So that was the only problem with that. Yeah, that killed me. So by the way, just, you know, because you take the curtain back a little bit, how did you, like, what was the decision to come to Miami? What was the lasting decision that got you to come down here and attend the University of Miami?
Well, obviously, it's a great university. It's so much tradition, and to be a part of a place like that is just, you know, an unbelievable experience. But for me, it was a few different factors. You know, number one, I wanted to be a part of a great place, like I just said. And number two, I needed to find a place, you know, where there was going to be a quarterback that was stepping into his senior year, so that when it was after my redshirt year, have a good opportunity to compete for a position. And then I had a good relationship with Coach Coker and Coach Salinger from recruiting in high school, so I knew those guys and just felt good about it. I mean, at the end of the day, it really was the only place I was looking at, because I knew the situation, felt good about it, and you know, and the rest is history.
Brock, what do you think about the speaking of that? I mean, my gosh, look at the amount of quarterbacks that transfer going, why ain't gonna play here? This is not a good situation, or for whatever reason, the transfer portal. What do you think of it as a guy that kind of went through it?
Yeah, you know, I understand with these guys, you know, that are making moves and transferring different places. You know, for me, it was tough. I mean, it's a tough decision, you know. I really was settled in at University of Florida. You know, I had great friends, still very close with those guys today. But at the end of the day, you've got to make the best decision for you. And whatever that may be, and every situation is different, you know. And I went back and forth, you know, with the decision, but I felt like at the end of the day, it was the right one for me. You know, it was not very popular at the time, you know, to transfer back when I did. Now it's gotten kind of crazy. But I always say, hey, you know, you got to give it all you got where you're at, and if it's just not working out, and, you know, the best decision for you is to make that move, then, you know, you make the move.
Brock, I just want to let you know.
I'll say this. You know, Joe, I think, you know, the thing is, when you transfer and you go somewhere, I mean, it's tough. You know, I mean, it's a tough deal. You got to right. You got to go in and prove yourself all over again, and you've got to, you know, put in the work. It's not like you're just walking into a place and they hand you the keys. You know, I know for me, I had to go in there and prove to my teammates, you know, that I'm here, that I'm going to do whatever it takes to help lead this team, be a leader on this team. And so it's not like you're just walking out and it's easy. So,
Brock, two quick things I just got to tell you that came in on the text machine and the Twitter page today. Tell Brock I still want to marry him, someone sent in from a couple years back. Seriously, tell him I need to feel connected to him after a full decade after that game. And another one said, ask Brock Berlin about the fourth down play in that fourth quarter. He ran a naked bootleg with the game on the line. If he didn't convert, the game would have been over. How about that? Someone remembers the exact play where the game could have been over at that point.
I know. People remember stuff. Apparently, right? They didn't do drugs.
Right.
Remember all that stuff.
It is amazing how the fans still remember one play, right, or still feel the fact that I want to be connected back to Brock Berlin because of such a great game. That's got to feel good for you, right?
It does. I remember that play like, you know, I'm telling you, like it was yesterday. And we had the naked. One of my roommates, Kyle Kobe, was fullback, and he was sneaking out in the flat. At that point, I thought, I'm holding on to this ball. You know, I can't run very fast. I know that, but there's nobody in front of me. I am getting this first down.
Yeah.
And as you can tell, I don't run a whole lot of cramped up on the play and the whole thing. So, but it worked out.
I guess it's fair to say Saturday night around 7 o'clock, I know you're going to be watching this game, since you really have been a big part of this, because you've been on both sides of this thing to know how important this game is. What are you doing Saturday night? Where are you going to be?
I will be tuned in at the house, probably be cooking out and have it all, a lot of friends over watching the game. So, you know, I'm surrounded by a bunch of LSU people here. But there will but not be an LSU game on, so they'll be cheering for the Canes. We'll be tuned in. I'm pulling for them. I'm excited, man. I really am. I'm excited about Coach Diaz and what he's doing, and just really looking forward to the future of this, you know, of our university.
What since you've been through this, brand new quarterback playing in his first start, really? I mean, outside of spring football. This is it since high school. What would be your advice to somebody getting their first start in such a big game like this?
Yeah, I think just relax, prepare, you know, mentally prepare. You know, my thing always was, hey, I'm going to play the game, you know, 100 times before we play the game in my mind, you know. And then when you step out there, just relax and have fun. Have fun. You know, you put the work in, and believe in yourself, believe in your teammates. and believe in, you know, the system and the plan, you know, and that's really, you know, all you can do, you know, is you prepared yourself. Now just, you know, go have some fun.
Yeah.
Brock, they're renewing this rivalry, so it, reports are saying another home and home, but actually in Hard Rock Stadium.
No, that's coming out today. The athletic director's
I said reports. Out. Reports are saying that.
It's been out for like a week.
I don't want to ruin Blake's surprise today, but it does look like they're going to do a home and home with the Florida and Miami. This should be on the schedule every year for both teams, right?
No doubt. One of the best college rivalries out there. And you know, I said the same thing about the Miami-Florida State. You know, anytime I was very fortunate as a quarterback to be able to play against Florida State and Florida a few times, and anytime, you know, those teams step on the field, no matter what the records, no matter what part time of the season, you know it's going to be a battle. It's a battle, and it's a great, you know, college football fans love to see that rivalry. I mean, it's for pride. You got kids from all over the state, you know, that have played against each other in high school, and at the end of the day, it's who's holding up that trophy, the state champion, you know. And so this Saturday will be a big game.
Hey, Brock, before we let you go, because we just spent a year with Frank Gore down here with the Miami Dolphins, did you ever think Frank Gore was going to be this good, where he'd want be one of the leading rushers of all time in the NFL when you're handing off to him? Did you ever think that?
I did, because I got to watch him every day. I mean, the guy is spectacular. Not only, you know, I would tell people all the time, everybody always, you know, talks about the big runs that he has and all the different things that they see, you know, on game day. But I got to see him every day outside of game day, and what the work that he put in the weight room, on the field. I mean, he never stopped pushing everybody, and he was an inspiration to me, especially, you know, going through the two, you know, ACL tears.
Yeah, that's right.
The guy just he had it, you know. And you know, when you're around somebody and you're kind of in the presence of greatness, and that's who Frank was. And so it doesn't surprise me, but I'll tell you what, I'm honored that I had the opportunity to play with a guy like that. He was a special player, but even more special person. So, you know, I'm proud of him. Proud to say that I got to play with a Hall of Famer. So,
hey, Brock, great talking to you, man.
Yep.
You good looking son of a gun, you, man. I'm so glad we got to spend some time with you, man.
Hey, always good to talk with you, Joe. We had some good times, bro.
Yeah,
we did, man.
Thank you, Brock. You take care of yourself. Enjoy Saturday night.
All right, fellas. Go Canes.
There it is. Brock Berlin joining us here. Gator chomp. Is that really necessary?
Is it necessary? He's a good dude, man.
He is a good dude.
Good dude.
And let me tell you, from an outside point, not a Gator fan, not a Cane fan watching that, seeing the story, the background story with him going from UF to Miami and going in that comeback game.
Not easy.
That's a movie. That's what that is.
We've had some good movies, but
that that was one of the best comebacks you've seen in that Orange Bowl ever. Maybe in football.
There's some good ones. Maryland had a good one too.
Yeah, they did. You're right. That's a tough one.
Oh man, we got to go to break here. We got a lot more stuff to get to here. We'll check in on the text machine 56022.
FiveSixty The Joe presents the Riptide Music Festival, powered by Ford, Broward County's 2019 signature event. It's coming to Fort Lauderdale Beach November 23rd and 24th. This year's event is headlined by multi-platinum recording artist The Killers, also appearing the 1975, Real Big Fish, Fuel, Soul Asylum, and more. Limited number of early bird two-day GA tickets go on sale tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. at WQAM.com. And for $59, limited number of two-day early bird VIP tickets also on sale for $99. Early bird tickets are on sale till Labor Day or until supplies last. It's Riptide Fest, powered by Ford. You can get all the details right here at WQAM.com.
Killer, man. That is killer. That's killer stuff right there.
Killers. Yeah.
Killers. Yeah. Killers.
Yeah,
right.
Correct.
All right, well, listen, we've got want to thank Brock for coming on, first of all. And second of all,
he was great.
Yeah, he is. Justin Fields and Jalen Hurts, part of the Brock Berlin team, of transferred and got the official, you're going to be starting. So I'd ask you, both loaded with talent, who's going to have a bigger year? Justin Fields or Jalen Hurts on their new team?
I'm just going off the last 2 years, and I'm going to say that Jalen Hurts is going to have a bigger year because of the system he's in right now and the last two quarterbacks in that system. Whether he's as good as either one of those guys or not, that system produced two Heisman Trophy winners and two number one overall picks in the draft. So yeah. I got to think that Jalen Hurts is in the right system, and I got to think that he's going to have a better season. Ohio State might be a better team.
Let me tell you, Dwayne Haskins put up.
Right, he put up sick numbers too.
Stupid
numbers.
So
both guys are in great systems. I'm just going to go with the two last number one picks in the draft, two last Heisman Trophy winners, and that coach is the guy that coached them both to that. So that's where
we're going to find out, man, how Justin's got – Justin Fields got a couple years left. Jalen Hurts, though, this is it for him, right?
Yeah,
Is that right? He said just this, and it's already had.
All it takes is 1 year in that
already
system.
Already had a pretty damn good career,
yeah, right,
considering his situation and playing behind Tua, and yet came in when he was injured and won a game to get him advanced there. Really, really nice story with all that stuff. So, anyway, and the NBA got a little story here. I don't know why. I'm just not a fan of Michelle Beadle at all.
I think a lot of people are not.
And I don't know her, so she's never, you know, blown me off or anything. There's just – I know I was the whole going over the top about the NFL when you stereotype a whole sport that, like, everybody's beating their wives and beating their girlfriends. I'm never big when we decide the whole sport's full of these guys.
Right.
And you're like, okay.
Stereotype an entire league.
I'm not big on that. And it was ballsy on her to keep her job because she did it on ESPN, which spends more money on college and pro football than anybody's business does. And she went on that show. I can't even imagine what those guys were thinking when she did that.
Can you imagine
that being
said,
there's a reason why this will be the second season I don't watch NFL, and I don't spend my Saturdays watching college football either. I believe that the sport of football has set itself up to be in a position where it shows itself in the bigger picture to not really care about women. They don't really care about people of color, but we won't get into that for NFL either. But as a woman, I feel like a person who has been marginalized, and every single one of these stories that comes out every single time pushes me further and further away. I realize they don't care, but for me, it's opened up my weekends. I appreciate you for giving that to me. I don't care anymore. I'm just numb to it. I'm just ready for NBA to kick off, quite frankly. That's what I'm here for.
And I'm glad you said it because the NBA kicked off on you, kicked you out.
Right.
God. Kicked you off the show.
I can't imagine being on set with her that day when she was saying that and how awkward it would be.
You can feel that way off the air and go, look, I'm having a problem with this. I got to move. But you go on the air. You are really ballsy about just how good you are. Still your job. You know, for everybody goes, you should be able to give your opinion on anything. Yeah, you can give your opinion on anything, but when you decide to go that far, and, you know, there's obviously no regrets with her, and the NBA thing didn't work out, and she put all her – she was lucky enough they went, okay, we're going to ship you out to L.A., and you're going to be doing the show there, and you'll be with all your, you know, your guys and stuff, and that didn't work out for whatever reason. But, yeah, that was a real turnoff to me.
She
calm down. You make it sound like we're all like when I look at you, I want to have, you know, like I'm going to do something.
Well,
just
it's a ballsy thing to say when you're working for a company whose biggest assets are NFL, you know, the Monday Night Football, NFL lives on every day, college football. You're not going to watch Saturdays or Sundays on your own network that the entire week.
That's all we're going to talk about for 5 or 6 months.
But not only that, but all week long, that's all you talk about. Monday morning, what happened on Sunday? Tuesday, still reaction from Monday Night Football and everything else. And then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you're previewing the weekend of college football and Thursday Night Football. Like, there's just so much stuff. And she wants nothing to do with it on their number one, we just built this morning show, put it together. What did you expect to happen? If you're Michelle Beadle.
I would love to have known what the rest of those guys on that show were thinking.
Imagine they go to commercial break.
Like, what,
first thing it said.
What were you thinking?
Right.
And she did one of those, I don't care. Obviously, she's not stupid.
Yeah.
She knew what she was doing. And so the plan looked like it worked. I went, wow, now she gets to go to the show she wants.
And still gets paid. Still has a contract.
But now she just gets a contract.
Right.
Until she finds something else
to do. We'll use you
when
we need it. And that's it. And that's what happens. Listen, good for her for signing a big deal. But at this point, being a figurehead now, like you're just coming in when we need you, you're not on a show anymore. You were on our built morning show that we wanted to have out there. Then you were the host of our NBA show. It's our second biggest commodity at that point. If the NFL and college football are together as just a football commodity, then you got the NBA. Now you got nothing.
Well, the biggest idiot on that show was not her. She tried to be, but it belongs to Paul Pierce.
Oh, come on. Of course.
Paul just...
He tried to be like the guy that made the dumb comments or was out there on a limb, and guess what?
I don't know what he was trying to do. Just his
He's crazy.
Jalen Rose, though, once again, the winner. And
Survivor.
But I got to say this on behalf of Jalen Rose. I like Jalen Rose, too.
So do I.
He's always, first of all, he'll call guys out if they say something, no matter what. But let me tell you something. His wife had some stuff said to her, and she works on an ESPN show. And he didn't go out and say, I'm going to kick this guy's ass or anything. He said, I'd just like to talk to him and find out, you know, why. I like Jalen Rose. Isn't it funny? And again, I don't know any of these guys, but we're all guilty of this. Hey, listen, people probably like that with us too, where you already make up your mind on somebody without really knowing them. But perception for TV is what it's all about.
Right.
If you get enough complaints about you, and they're getting them, they change things.
Quickly.
We saw ESPN get rid of a show at 6 o'clock, which I wasn't a fan of because I'm the old white guy that just wants get right to the games, the highlights.
That's me.
Great sound on guys going off on stuff, upsets, sports that you wouldn't usually get to see on a tennis match.
And hottest news of the day, highlights, scores, preview for the
I don't
want to
do
games.
That opinion stuff. Like no. We got that stuff at 6 o'clock, man. I want meat and potatoes.
Right.
And what do they call it? They call it the old white stuff. Anyway, they took those guys. I didn't have anything against those guys.
No.
I just didn't like the show, and I just wanted the old style show to come back, and they did. So.
And I'm watching it again. And like you said, nothing personal with those two. The Michael was on there, and Jamil was on there also.
We just got so many shows.
I don't need that. We have it all day long. We have sports radio.
Everybody's got their opinion on TV and radio, and even our writers who used to just cover the team, now they do opinion stuff.
TV and radio shows also, yes.
So everybody's now got officially. We all have it. People listening, we have it. Everybody's got it. Writers used to just report what they'd see. Now they all have their own opinions.
Well, platform.
Social media just, give whatever you have. So, yeah, that's where we are. We've got to come back. We'll check in on the text machine, 56022. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, welcome back here. Before Levy and Stu Gotts take over here on 560, we'll continue on. What do we got coming in? 56022 this morning.
Let's see. Paul Pierce is awful. I turned off the switch. The set every time he was on. Didn't care too much about Beadle either. And Jalen Rose was the better one on that set for sure. Yeah, I think that's what we kind of got from that. Also, Paul Pierce was awful. He was an awful.
And by the way, you know
guy.
What's amazing? Like sometimes you meet guys and you're like, "Wow, completely different than I see on the air." And it just, I don't know, it's just style or what they say, or hey, it might say something about somebody you like. And Paul Pierce got into the "I'm better than Dwayne Wade" thing.
Oh, how stupid was that?
That got it going, and the way he handled things, you know, and considering who he played with and who I played with, and then everybody was like, "Oh, so Ray Allen and Garnett sucked,"
right? And Rondo and that whole team.
Yeah, Rondo. Yeah.
Team stunk. Yeah, right. You were the best. Give me a break. Joe, the Gators' depth chart came out yesterday. They got problems of their own on the offensive line. I'm curious to see how Dan Mullins will handle that right side with two true freshmen there. Yeah, it did come out, and they're young on the offensive line.
Well, Manny mentioned that without Gator fans would know to follow it, that said, hey, they got some new guys playing too. And, hey, I'm just – it's a great thing is how are the transfer – guys going to play. Going to be a few transfer guys playing. How will all the true freshmen or even redshirt freshmen, how are they going to play? How's a first-time quarterback playing this game? It hasn't been great success right. for guys. I'm going to be honest. Please, Canes, don't take this the wrong way. We have not seen great success from first-time quarterbacks. If
in
you
a
think,
big-time game.
In a big, big game. This is not Bethune-Cookman.
No.
And so, yeah, they've struggled. They're going to get after them. How do you help? What can you do to take the pressure on them? How do you get the ball to certain playmakers? Who are you going to concentrate on getting the ball, and who are you going to attack? All those things. Like, I think the tight ends are going to be a big, big story for the Miami Hurricanes.
They should be. Two of the best playmakers on the field when they're both on there.
And you know, I guess Michael Irvin's son's going to play some now, too. But those two young
Mallory and Jordan.
Oh,
yep.
So good.
Yep. Let's see. Vic just texted in 23 total starts on the Gators offensive line for all five guys.
Wow.
That's not a lot.
How about Vic coming in? We
should Vic's
have
stat,
Vic
man.
In here. Vic's going to have it all done.
Vic texted me all so long.
23 starts
That's
by.
It. 23 starts overall in that Gators offensive line right now for the five guys.
You see, Donaldson has that by himself. Just, right. Yeah. It's crazy.
So the young offensive lines, we'll see who could
right.
overcome.
Who can,
both.
Who can still, you know. By the way, you got to be able to run the ball. Who takes care of the ball? Who's going to win? Let me give you a stat. And this one plays out. This is a joke between Dan Marino and I. Whoever turns that ball over and you go three turnovers in a game like this, you're probably done, unless both teams end up turning it over. But
well, whoever makes the first mistake and overcomes that first mistake is going to be – that's going to be big for them.
I always
and
say
who drowns
this,
after that
you,
first
You've got to stay away from special team scores. You can't allow somebody to have a special teams play and they beat you for a touchdown. Defensive scores, they all feel like two scores because you're going, damn. The way you're supposed to win is by your offense scoring and going. And if you start all of a sudden – you give up a pick six or a guy picks up a fumble and runs it back, you have a punt return or kickoff return go for a touchdown against you. Those are killers.
It hurts, man.
Even turnovers on a short field.
Well, that might be one of the worst, too.
You know, you turn over, and even if they don't score, but they're sitting there on the inside the 20, it's automatic points.
Somebody texted, Frank Gore and I rehabbed together for ACLs at Doctor's Hospital. His first one, unreal work ethic and determination. So focused. That's from Ted and Coral Gables.
He's still that way. Ted he still goes down the street from Davey and works out. And they talk about his workouts to this day. Like, he's still – how many guys this late in their career –
are working out like they're a 22-year-old.
He goes, as soon as I saw him in the off season, he goes, man, I'm gonna play next year. I made it clear to the Dolphins I want to come back. He wanted to come back here, and of course they said no once Gase was out. But he's up in Buffalo. I expect he's going to run for another 500, 600, 700 yeah. yards and just keep it going.
I'm in LeSean McCoy up
he
there.
He loves to play, loves to study the game and understands it, seen it all, and is quietly – in a weird way, without having 2,000 yards in a season, which one all the great ones have done, or 1,800 yards in a season like Ricky Williams.
He's been consistent.
He just goes 900,000, just, and he played forever, and he's got these stupid monster numbers right now.
When you're in that category with the one-name guys, you know you've done it well. The guy who texted in earlier about asking Brock about that bootleg play sets, he ran that play right at us at the Orange Bowl. It was an awesome sight to see. Huge fan. Thanks again. And the text right after that, God bless Brock Berlin, a Canes hero for life.
What a game for him, though. Right? That was it.
I mean, that was the game of games for him.
Well, yeah. First of all, he's down. Got everything going against him. Got your own fan base booing you. They wanted a change. And the other team is sitting there going, we knew it. Brock Berlin, and you left for the, oh, God, we're so glad you left. And then, bam, he got it rolling.
Right. Let's see. Was Marino as obsessed with his shoulder pads as Antonio Brown with his helmet?
Dan Marino was a little crazy about his shoulder pads. He liked his original shoulder pads. Yes, he did.
Someone said, Joe, you and the Blackwood brothers should kidnap Antonio's helmet and call the Raiders with a ransom demand.
Get some money for it. Get some money if we found something he liked and then took it. But listen, this whole thing with Antonio Brown, honestly, even if you're a huge Antonio Brown fan or you're drafting him or you grew up down here and you like him because he did something nice for you, or his work ethic, which nobody's questioning, or how he plays on Sunday, it's just this story's getting old. He's taking Diva to a new level.
Right.
You know, about all the things you said earlier about, I'm not going to play if you won't give me the right helmet. So you're going to walk away. You were serious when you said that? Well, I didn't say it. First of all, then he came out and said he didn't say it. Then he said, you know, he was backtracking a little bit. But he ain't walking away. Don't.
Not from all that cash and everything.
By the way, this isn't a spoiled kid. It's not a spoiled brat. This guy was a sixth-round pick that came out of a tough neighborhood.
They made it to be the number one guy in the league.
To be one of the top wide receivers in a real diva position. And he is trying to become the king of it.
Right. Statman just texted, and also Brock Berlin undefeated against Florida State and the Gators in his career.
Was he?
That's a crazy stat right there.
I didn't know the Florida
State. Neither did I. Wow.
Hell, I can't remember those games, honestly. Hell, there's wide left and wide right games, and sometimes you get confused on where they happened.
Someone asked, Zach, how did you end up going to Florida? Seems like your dad's a Cane fan. My dad is a diehard Canes fan. It was just cheaper. Florida prepaid, folks. That's why I went up there. Couldn't use Florida prepaid at a private university.
Listen, man. That's
a big difference in pay.
UCF, Florida, Florida State, that's...
Right. I got into those schools, ended up going out to Florida. Miami was no chance. There was no chance. Private school, that much cash, not going to happen. My dad is a diehard Canes fan. He will be sitting next to me at this game or at the bar, Twin Peaks and Pembroke Pines Saturday night with all his Canes gear on and screaming at me every
time. So my brother-in-law, Jamie, took my nephew up for his freshman year of college, and they were visiting. They happened to be up there same weekend as the final Gator spring football game, and he went to the game. Went with my nephew, and there's
not?
No bigger Canes fan than Jamie. Jamie Civantini is a huge, huge Canes fan, and he was up there watching them, like getting a scouting report and watching them up there. And his kid was, you know, getting ready to go. That's where he's going to go to his school and stuff. So,
How about this one, Joe? Which offensive line is going to suck more this year, Dolphins or Canes? Who's going to have a worse year?
Well, right now, the Dolphins would
Dolphins right
would be in the leader. Although, listen, you can say whatever you want. You got two rookie guards, and you got a freshman and a freshman at tackle.
Yeah, it's
even
tough.
Even though one's been in the program a year longer. They got that doesn't happen very often. A true freshman at left tackle. And right tackle is just as important, but left tackle, a true freshman comes in with those 8 or 10 guys, some have since transferred, and he got the job. And Manny goes, we didn't just hand him the job. Like, he's pretty damn good. He's been the biggest surprise of all the freshmen. We're talking about skilled position and wide receiver and a corner out of Alabama and all these guys you got and this guy and that guy. And the biggest story has been Zion at left tackle.
How about this text? I just rewatched the 92 AFC Championship game on YouTube. Do you think that game did Shula in for his eventual replacement? Wow, that's going back. The 92 AFC Championship game.
92 AFC Championship game. That had to be, was that San Diego?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, they must have made the Super Bowl that year. And someone also asked, can the Raiders send a 5-day notice to AB?
Oh, I saw that last night. Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan had that.
Rex.
Sexy Rexy had that last night. I actually saw the 5-day, and if he doesn't come in, they can get signing bonus back and the $1 million he got up front and do the whole thing. I tell you what, though, I don't think you get your draft picks back.
No. They're gone.
That's too late.
Cash maybe to get back, possibly, but that's it.
But let me tell you what's going to happen to AB, just so you know, because I want everybody to know the truth and everything looks – I mean, he's really childish and it's time to grow up and all that stuff. Let me tell you what's going to happen with
AB. Someone
said it
was Buffalo at home, by the way, that Shula game. Keep going. Sorry.
AB is going to get 160 targets, catch 100 100. He's going to have double-digit touchdown, and this will be forgotten. Well, it won't be forgotten because we'll laugh about it because we still talk about Pittsburgh's last regular season game and that very weird behavior.
How about this? AB is either stalling or he's regretting his decision to leave Pittsburgh. I don't know if he's regretting his decision to leave Pittsburgh.
I did think about that.
Really? You thought? I think he wanted out.
Pittsburgh's such a better organization.
But he'll never be bigger than Big Ben there.
Well, then he's in the right place.
Yeah, he's the top
guy.
He'll
be the big
guy, yeah.
Although he hadn't acted like he wants to be the big guy. But this stuff that he's doing right now wasn't going to fly for a second year in Pittsburgh.
No,
way.
None of those guys. 29-10, they lost that 92 AFC Championship game against Buffalo at home.
What was it?
29-10, they lost. 92 AFC Championship game against Buffalo. It's one of those Buffalo Super Bowl runs. We had home field and we choked it.
Wow.
Now everyone's texting it with this. Wow. We hit a nerve. We struck a nerve here with Dolphin fans about this with Shula. You think that game did him in? I don't think that did him in.
No.
92 AFC Championship game.
No.
Bill spanked the Dolphins and Joe Robbie. That's what people are texting in.
They I'm trying to think what year it was. We went up there and played them in the last game. They beat us, and then we played them in the playoffs the next week, and they beat us again, I think.
This isn't my dad texting him, but it says, Florida prepaid pays tuition. Bright Futures gives my kids $2,500 a semester. No-brainer where my kid was going.
I think there's been a lot of people. Right. You have this discussion. You have a kid that comes and goes, I'm going to go out of state. I'd like to go to North Carolina. Nope. And you go, oh, no. No, let me give expensive. You your choices where you can go just because you've done great in school. And we're really proud of you. But you're not familiar. Mom and dad don't talk about their finances. But let me explain something to you. Listen to me carefully. UCF, Florida, or Florida State. Right. Make sure we get all our papers into all those schools. All state schools.
And all the scholarship money we can get if there's any around, especially around the state.
But you can kiss that out of state.
It's expensive. You go to school out of state. Especially with all these schools here in the state. Someone said Thurman Thomas' screenplay killed us. I still think about that.
My God.
This is what's look, you see what happened?
Well,
out of nowhere this came up.
First of all, did anybody run a screen like Thurman Thomas and the Bills?
Nope.
By the way, they do that and then they hit their Hall of Fame receiver.
Andre Reed.
Right down the middle on a post, and he split the corner and the safety after you come up and start cheating on Thurman, and they get you that way. Oh, God. I'm glad that show's over. I thought that lasted forever till this Brady-Belichick thing. Then right. I realized, God, that was just a cup of coffee what the Bills did for 5 years.
Bills had it unlocked, too, for a little while. Not like this, though. This is something stupid.
5 years compared to 20 years.
This is something stupid.
This thing's coming up on 20. We're 2 years from 20 years with Brady and Belichick.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.